Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus.
It's been a long time coming. It's going to be a long time gone.
Considered one of the greatest harmony singers in rock history, David Crosby is back in the limelight as a solo artist this winter, with the release of his first studio album in two decades, Cross, which is out now from Blue Castle Records, the label he founded with longtime collaborator Graham Nash. Even though his 1971 solo record, If I Could Only Remember My Name, gains more respect by the year, Crosby has spent most of his two-time Rock and Roll Hall of Fame career singing and performing with others, including The Byrds, Crosby, Stills and Nash, and CPR. Cross is an 11-song portrait of a man who has seen hard times, addiction, prison, band wars, and health problems, but came out the other end introspective and open, ready to sing about familiar themes in the Crosby canon like love, political outrage, passing time, and the sea.
After holding onto nothing for quite a while, a glance to see what waited there, a shadow leaning easy by a window, a scent of something reason in the air. Nothing runs faster than time with night, but time slows down every day. All of those hours with nothing to do, holding nothing again today.
A member of the Songwriters Hall of Fame, Crosby's work includes Wooden Ships, Almost Cut My Hair, Long Time Gone, Deja Vu, Guinevere, and countless others. David Crosby, congratulations on the new record and welcome to the Roundtable.
Hi there.
It took quite a while for another solo record. How long were you working on it?
A long time, because we didn't have any money and didn't want to go give up ownership of the record to somebody to get it. So we were working in my son's studio, James Raymond's studio, down in Altadena, and I was sleeping on his couch. And we did it over the period of about 2.5 years. Because we, you know, really had to depend on the generosity of friends, and they really, a number of people, you know, played and sang and didn't ask for anything, and just helped. And the result was, you know, a very musical effort, but it took really a long time.
Not everyone might know the story between you and your son, James. He had been given up for adoption, and later you reconnected and found out that he was an incredible musician himself. So how did you two work together on this particular project, and what's that relationship like today?
Well, you know, it just got better and better and better from the moment that we met. When I gave him a set of words, the first set of words I gave him was Morrison, a song that we did with CPR. And he came back with this incredible song, and I realized that we were going to be writing together for as long as I was around. And it's matured a great deal. He's matured as a writer a great deal. And the writing process between us is very sparky. It's very, very good. We communicate very, very well, and he has written some of the songs on here by himself, and some with me, and our friend Marcus Eaton, and I wrote one with a friend up here, a poet who had never written a song before, but he wrote some good lyrics, and I I wrote the music to them. It's been a thrill.
One of the tunes on the new album is Radio, which appeared in live version on CSN 2012 a couple of years back. So I was familiar with that, listening to the new album. And I wondered, when you write a song, how you decide, you know, this is for the band, this is for solo, this is something I might play with James. How does that process happen?
Well, you know, I don't really think about the venue for the song when I write the song. I'm only just trying to communicate something and trying to make the right musical framework for it to deliver the song. I don't really think about where it's going so much until I have it finished. And then it depends on, you know, where I am in my life. If we're right in the middle of making a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young record, well, then that's probably where it's going. But once we got started, once we wrote that song, James and I, you know, I gave him those words, and he wrote that music, and we looked at each other, and the same thought, you know, was in both our minds. Well, this is good enough to be a record, and we should continue. And we did.
And that song in particular, if people are familiar with some of your most famous lyrics and songs, it immediately brings to mind the ocean, where you've gained a lot of interest. And, you know, you've said in interviews that you like to be out on the water. Why is that still so important to you?
Well, I don't know. I'm a water man. I've been a sailor and a diver I've been a sailor for my whole life. And I've been a diver for about 40 years. And it's been a thing. Sailing and being on the boat has been a thing that's saved my life a number of times. It's a completely real existence. It's not like, you know, living in Hollywood and thinking that's the center of the universe and being totally, you know, concerned with trying to get on the cover of Rolling Stone and, you know, that kind of thing. I think it's really, really helped me a tremendous amount, my love of the sea. And I think a lot of my, now this song basically is couched in, you know, nautical terms, but it's really what it's about is that you can help another human being. You can reach into somebody else's life and make a difference and help them. And it's all put in nautical terms, but you know, that's what the metaphor is.
You are the captain, this is your ship. You will have to what gets done. Think about it when you're on watch tonight. But someday this message will come for you to look out, look down. Reach your hand into the water for you to look out, look down.
Real message of the song is a very positive one for me. I write very often about, you know, how tough things are, and this one is a very positive one. I'm very happy about it.
It's interesting you just used the term "the sea saved my life," and Graham Nash often uses that same phrase to talk about what you've meant to him.
Well, that's incredible. That's wonderful of him to say that. He's a great man.
Now, when you say save my life, I mean, you've had some very public battles with your health. How are you doing nowadays?
I'm really pretty well. I'm about to go check. About to go to UCLA and get probed and prodded and radiated. But I have to do that every year. But my health is actually, even though, you know, I do still have these problems, diabetes and heart problems and hepatitis C and stuff. You know, I seem to be managing them pretty well. I feel great. I've been working really a lot. My life is good.
And your voice is right where it's been.
That's what people tell me.
How do you explain that?
I can't explain it. I have no idea how my voice could be good after all the things I did to it.
Speaking of, some mortal issues, there's a song, Time I Have, on the album that maybe veers more toward some of the frustration you were just talking about in your songs. Tell us how that song came about.
Well, you know, the later in your life you get, the less time you have left, the more you are concerned with how you spend that time. I don't want to spend that time angry. I used to get angry every day. I don't now. I like it. I don't want to spend it sad either. And I don't want to spend it looking over my shoulder, studying my history, thinking, gosh, I'm significant. I especially don't want to waste my time being mad. And in that song, I'm sort of calling on, you know, some of my heroes. You can hear me talking about Martin Luther King. You can hear me talking about the Dalai Lama. You know, trying to go for the high ground.
How are you able to turn the corner from those feelings of anger to a more peaceful, you know, day-to-day existence?
Well, the first thing was about 25 years ago or so or more, I stopped doing hard drugs. And that, of course, put my life back on track. And since then, I've been working to try and, you know, do the best I can to you know, elevate my consciousness and be a good human being. It's not an easy thing, particularly in this world.
I want to talk a little bit about your band, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, which is, heading back out on the road later this year.
And sometimes young,
including this past October at the Bridge School benefit. You guys played, the four of you, the first time in 7-8 years, I think. Do you want to make some news on the roundtable here and tell us about any CSNY plans?
Well, yeah, actually there is a CSNY 3 CD set. I think it is 3 CDs, yeah, and a DVD coming out this coming year. I mean, this year. And probably pretty soon. They're just finishing it now, and it's an amazing piece of work. At the time that we did this, 1974, we were so adventuresome and so completely, you know, willing to take chances, and that allows for peaks. You know, it allows for valleys, too, but we didn't put those on the record. It's pretty amazing music. I think everybody is going to be quite thrilled with it.
Well, I read somewhere that you are hoping for one more CSNY tour, and then you'd be okay to go.
Well,
Let me add,
no,
hopefully
not okay
anytime
to go.
Soon. Yeah.
I'm enjoying my life. But yeah, I would love to do it again. It's... You know, Neil has good things and bad things about him, but the thing that intrigues me the most, that makes me want to play with him the most, is that he is never satisfied. He just isn't. He wants to push the envelope. He wants to try and go for it. And he doesn't want to do the same thing over and over again. And I love that about him. I love that about him. I think he is a real artist and a very good one. And I like it that he's not willing to just pull the handle and try to get three cherries in a row to come up and so that he can make some more dollars. I think he's much to be admired for that.
You know, in the history of your group, and even to today, the personalities between the band members, you know, who's mad at who and who's happy with the others, what's the permutation going to be, that has led to a lot of fascination for journalists, for headline writers, for fans. But also, you know, it seems like the group was built on a certain amount of trust, you know, using the last names instead of a name of the band, where you can put out a solo album here and is there, like, no jealousy from the other guys? How does that play out in terms of, you know, band politics?
I don't think there's jealousy. I think anything that's good for one of us is good for all of us. When we started the band, the intent was that by using our own names, we would not be replaceable. It wouldn't be, you know, the Lead Balloon, and you know, and you just swap in new members whenever somebody gets on the outs. We wanted it to be us and only us, and we also wanted to be able to do it in any configuration we wanted. Neil and Steven, Graham and David, Graham and Steven, Neil and David. It's just this way we have had the ability to do what we really wanted to do, which was be able to work in a number of different forms, and that keeps and has kept us from being just a one-trick pony. You know, it's given us a lot of freedom.
And you're still out on the road, sounding really solid, playing new music, taking chances. Did you think you'd be doing that at this age?
No. No. When we said don't never trust anybody over 30, we didn't think we were going to make it to 30.
Graham Nash released his autobiography last year called Wild Tales, and he said that the sound of CSN was established within the first minute the three of you ever sang together.
That's true.
You had that same reaction?
Absolutely. I heard the three of us sing, and I said, okay, I know what I'm going to be doing.
Heartlessly helping himself to her bad dreams, he worries, did he hear a goodbye, or even hello, they are one person, they are two alone, they are three together, they are four.
What was it about that sound? I mean, obviously, people across the country and around the world have grown to love it, but what did you hear?
I heard harmonies that were just as good as anything I'd ever heard. They were, when the three of us sang together, it was one of the best sounds I'd ever heard in my life. I knew I wanted to do it, and I loved it. Because it wasn't all just, you know, ordinary parallel three-part, you know, triad harmony. It was complex. It moved around. It changed shape as it went by. It was my kind of stuff.
I'm settling on the word triad there. That's a loaded term.
Your mother's ghost stands at your shoulder. She's got a face like ice, or just a little bit colder, saying you cannot do that, it breaks all the rules.
Graham Nash paints a kind of tough picture of you at parts in his book. What was that like to read the memoir? I'm assuming you've read it.
Yeah, it was very unpleasant.
But you stood by it.
He didn't lie about anything.
And reading it, I wonder the whole time, you know, that friendship could have fallen apart. At times, maybe it did a little bit. It hasn't. How come that friendship still remains today?
I guess because it's valuable and good, and I think we're both, you know, good guys. And I see it clearly in him that he's a good guy, and I think I am, and I've certainly been a good friend to him, and I intend to stay that way.
Back to Kroz, is this the start of a period of writing for you? Will we expect, you know, not a 20-year wait between this and the next solo album, or are you working on other stuff?
I don't know. You know, the next album may be a Crosby, Nash album, or a Crosby, Stills, and Nash album, or a Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young album. There's lots of different ways it can go. I mean, I you know, I'm open to anything. I've already written a really good song since we finished the record. He said with humble modesty. But I have. And so I really don't know, you know, what's going to happen. I know that I'm very happy to be doing what I'm doing.
And you're going out on a solo tour as well, which, as I mentioned, you know, you don't do very much. What kind of a change is that in terms of doing a concert?
Oh, man, it's so much fun. It's so much fun because, I mean, in a CSN set, I only get to sing, you know, oh, probably five songs, six songs, something like that. And in this, I get to do, you know, like 25 songs and go all over the map. In terms of where I've been and what kind, you know, what different kinds of things I've written and that I like to sing. It's a joy. I've got an incredible band, and they love doing it. And we're all a little bit jazzers, you know, in the sense that we like dense chords and unusual, you know, unusual music. So we have a very good communication with each other. It's really fun.
Well, David Crosby's new album is Kroz. It's his first studio solo album out in two decades, and he'll be hitting the road to support the album as well. Crosby, Stills, and Nash, thankfully, is also still out on the road, and as you mentioned, CSNY will have a box set out this year, which I cannot wait to hear. David Crosby, I have to thank you so much for spending some time with us, and I really appreciate it. Good luck to you.
Thank you, man, very much.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.